Today I want to talk to you about Pepsi. Why would we talk about a soft drink? The lesson isn't about a soft drink. Then what's it about? Let me give you a hint.
If you can figure it out. Here's a hint. Got an idea now?
No idea yet? That was a good hint. It's a what?
Acronym.
Aha! Gary figured it out. Yes, it's an acronym. That was good that Gary figured it out. Acronyms are helpful for memory. We remember a lot of things because of acronyms. Okay. So I think, what qualities do I consider admirable? So I chose the Pepsi acronym to present these ideas. Pepsi stands for powerful, effective, persistent, smart, and influential. Those we tend to think of, those are admirable qualities, things we like to have, that we want to show people that, hey, you know, I have some abilities. You may choose heroes in movies, or you may read books about people who have those qualities, and you appreciate that. So we're going to examine scriptures today about one who has all these qualities. The one I'm speaking of is referred to quite a number of times in the scriptures. Let's think of that for a second, see if you can think of that. Who I might be thinking of that we're going to look at and examine to see who has those qualities. Think for a second, what individual jumps into your mind? Your mind probably doesn't work like mine. Most people's don't. The one I'm thinking of is Satan. You may not have thought of Satan when you looked at those qualities. But let's look at the scriptures and see if we can't find those relating to Satan. He's spoken of so many times in the scriptures that we couldn't possibly consider them all in an hour or even longer, because there's a lot of scriptures about this powerful being, this evil one. We'll look at some of them. Does the word powerful come to mind to you about Satan? Is Satan powerful? Does he have any power? Yes. Let's look at Acts chapter 26. We're just going to look at passages and not consider context very much. We're going to look at just to see that that is a quality that Satan has. Acts chapter 26, which is talking about the mission that Saul had. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Here's Saul's mission. God says, I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's what Paul was going to be sent to do, to the Gentiles especially. Going to turn them from the power of Satan to God. If he didn't have any power, we would say, well, that's going to be an easy job. Nothing to it. Another passage, just to look at a verse concerning the power of Satan. What power does he have? Does he grab you by the neck and say, here's what you got to do? What power does he have? Well, he does have some power. In Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. That's talking about Jesus. That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. Powerful has the power of death. going to do this or you're dead. You know, hey, that's a little power, okay? Power of death. Does he use that weapon? Well, yeah, certainly. Power of death. Well, how is he effective? Does Satan accomplish much to get anything done? Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Now, this is concerning the parable of the sower, who sowed the seed in various soils. And here's being explained. Well, let's start with verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path, that's where seed some have sown, the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And even the next one. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. When you think of the parable of the sower, do you see Satan's effectiveness there? Takes away the seed. Got power to do that. Keep people from having access to or take away the seed sown in the hearts. That's some effect he has. One other passage concerning that, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many." Destruction, that's the weapon of the devil. How many? Many. Many follow the, go through the wide gate that leads to destruction. Compared to the few, go through the narrow gate that leads to life everlasting. Doesn't use the word Satan in there, but talks up about the many who lead to destruction. Persistence. Persistence is a pretty good quality, generally speaking. Maybe not always. In Luke chapter 4, we have the situation where Jesus has gone into the wilderness. Be tempted by Satan. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 say, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil." So Satan is tempting, but what's it say with persistence? Is he persistent? Well, you remember he tempted him with several things, and Jesus always answered with Scripture and was not, did not fall for Satan's wiles. But verse 13, "And when the devil had ended every temptation, he gave up and walked away," said, "I lose." Not exactly. "And when the devil had ended every temptation with Jesus in the wilderness, he departed from him until an opportune time." So even Jesus, not falling for his temptations, Satan didn't say, you got me. Waited for an opportune time. That's persistence. But another one I want us to look at for persistence is 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's not someone who gives up easily. How frequently is that? In Jesus' case, he was seeking for opportunity to strike. Opportunity hunting. Seeking until there's opportunity. Good quality, generally, not one we like, maybe, for our adversary. Smart. Would you say Satan's smart? Well, you remember Genesis chapter 3? In the case with Eve? Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 says, now the serpent was, doesn't use the word smart. Mine says the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Sometimes we say, you know, someone's crafty, say, he's smart. He's sly. Smart as a fox. Sometimes we use that expression. And by smart, we don't always mean someone who accomplishes what we want him to or does things which are good, but he's got his ways.
Crafty and cunning.
Crafty, yes. Cunning.
In this version.
Yes.
Same thing.
Exactly. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. We're in the middle of a sentence, but it says, for that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Concern for being outwitted, but I'm not outwitted by a dummy, by a moron, by an idiot, but I can be outwitted by a smart, conniving individual. Outwits some, obviously. And one other concerning that, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11, dropping down verse 14. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Jesus disguises, that's smart. Hey, how can I get people to follow me? I'll use a disguise. That's good thinking. We see people, our heroes in the movies, whatever, he used a disguise. That was smart. That's good thinking. Okay. So he outwits people maybe by wearing a disguise, having a disguise. And then influential, well, we kind of covered that with somewhat with effective, but we'll look at a couple more passages anyhow. In Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 and verse 13, we're in the situation here, that's what I got written down, Acts 5:13. That didn't ring a bell. Oh, that's not right. We'll skip that one. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Influence. In order to overcome that influence, we need armor. He's got schemes. We might not use the word schemes. We might use wild or something else. Schemes, wild, the devil. wants his people to be disobedient. And Genesis chapter 3, we looked at before about Eve. You won't die. Could it influence her to do something she knew God had said not to do? One preacher I know gave a lesson on knots in the devil's tail. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, he told her, not, you would not die. And that was his tail. And so I thought that was pretty cool lesson he gave concerning that. Well, we say the devil has weapons or schemes or wiles. And we'll briefly mention some of the weapons he has, one he uses. And as I mentioned before, we can't consider all the passages concerning Satan. We'll take a look at some. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11 again. You thought, man, he went through Pepsi real fast. That's a short lesson. What the You're not that lucky. Not that lucky. 2 Corinthians Chapter 2, verse 11 again. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices or his designs or his schemes. We're not ignorant. We know what he uses. And you think, well, we know what he's going to use. How does he win so many times? Well, that's because he can outwit us. What's he use? Well, what did he use against Eve? Deceit, lies. Okay. That's some things he uses. 1 Timothy chapter 2 even talks about that concerning Eve. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 says, remind them of these things and charge them before God. That's not it either. Oh, well, sometimes I put down a 2 instead of a 1 or something of that nature. We'll skip over that one. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I was in 2 Timothy. If I go to 1 Timothy, that might make more sense. A difference between a 1 and a 2. Not much difference, but in this case there is. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. So that's one of the weapons, one of the schemes that Satan uses. Deceit. Lies. And it doesn't have to work. How long does that work for? If you can deceive someone or tell them a lie and they'll believe for just long enough to eat a fruit, long enough to do something very brief, very quick, you were effective. That's a scheme that he has. You know, it doesn't have to, well, let me think that over for a couple. No, you believe it for right now, and that's all it takes. We mentioned he uses disguises, disguises himself as an angel of light. He tempts us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Mentions means by which he tempts. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5 says, do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time when you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again. The last part's what I want to get to. So that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Satan tempts through our lack of self-control. And we know that's often the case. We want something, and we don't control ourselves. We do something we know we shouldn't do, but we still do it. We don't always exercise proper self-control. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. Concerning Ananias and Sapphira, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why did he do that? I think the next part tells us why. And to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land. Remember, he sold some land and he gave part of it and said, that's how much I received from the land. So Satan uses that. His concern was for the money. He lied because of money. Do people ever lie because of money? Probably a pretty common thing that people lie about. Something going to cost them money or something to get money for. So he fills our hearts to lie. I'm going to now give some of the qualities. What is Satan actually called in the scriptures? What descriptive words is he often used for? Well, sometimes he's called deceiver. Revelation chapter 12, in verse 9, he's called the deceiver of the whole world. Yeah, he's a deceiver, deceives. That is a very strong weapon, very powerful weapon he uses. He deceives. He is a deceiver. In Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, what's he called? When Jesus is about to be tempted in the wilderness, and the tempter came to him and said, if you're son of God, command these stones to become bread. Here he's called a tempter. Called a deceiver. That's what he does. He's called a tempter. That's his weapon. And 1 Peter 5, 8, which I think we already looked at. But let's look and see what descriptive term, what's he called in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil. So here he's called adversary, that's okay. Someone's adversary for their opponent, someone who's trying to win, someone who... He's our adversary. Adversary of good is what he is. In John chapter 8 and 44. John 8. 44. Jesus saying this to some who were opposing him, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I mentioned before, lies are very effective. These are all descriptive words. He's a tempter, he's an adversary, he's a liar. These are weapons he uses constantly, all the time. In Matthew 13, 39, chapter 13, verse 39 says, concerning the weeds that are sown among the seed, we'll just read verse 38 with it. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. So he sows weeds, or bad seed, among the good seed. Okay, you hear the word, it's okay if you have that word, as long as you add these weeds with it. So here he's called the enemy. And, of course, the one that we've talked about, his actual name. Now, you may have heard such statements as, the devil's in the details. That's what I'm trying to show you here. Then you realize what the devil's weapons are. So we use two acronyms today. Pepsi and details. But let's see one more thing I want us to look at. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Now Revelation has a lot of figurative language used, and to try to figure out what all of it means, very difficult. But let's just read down to Revelation chapter, starting with Revelation chapter 12, and read a ways and see if you recognize any of these qualities of the devil. You recognize that he exhibits any of those. Revelation 12, beginning the first verse. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. Is that a wimp he's fighting against, do you think? Someone powerful. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And he gave up. No, it doesn't say and he gave up. He was thrown down. Verse 13, skipping downwards. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had been given birth to be to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water out like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. See, we may not understand all the descriptive terms, but can we see some of these aspects of Satan? Chapter 13, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet were like bears, and its mouth was like a lion's. And to the dragon gave he, and to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given over every tribe and people, language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who was slain. Anyone has an ear, let him hear. Anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. Anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. And as we will be partaking of the bread and fruit of the vine, we remember who has more power than this powerful being. Remember that his power comes through his shedding of his blood. And as we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, we remember that one who enables us to overcome this powerful being who is there persistently pursuing us to overcome us. Let us sing and then we'll partake of the